Let's start from here again. So I'm going to review what Professor Bevilacqua showed you, taking an optimization point of view. So the aim is to solve a system like this one, where you have a square matrix A, n by n matrix. You have a vector v in Rn, and the assumption that Professor Bevilacqua told you is that the matrix is symmetric and positive definite, so that all its eigenvalues are positive. Okay? So I can write down the method once again through each operation. So you choose a starting point. You choose a starting point at zero. So you initialize the algorithm this way by choosing some at zero in Rn. And you set the iteration counter to zero. Then you evaluate the so-called residual, Rk, which is given by B minus Axk. So if this is zero, so this is by definition, if this is zero, then you have found a solution of the linear system. Okay. Clearly, so you stop. Otherwise, you compute this coefficient beta k, which is rk times Rk over Rk minus 1 times Rk minus 1. And you do this if k is greater or equal than 1, while you take beta 0 equal to 0 if k is equal to 0. Okay? And then you compute this vector, this direction, which is Rk plus beta k times dk minus 1, okay, where you do this if k is greater or equal than 1, and if k is 0, then at b0 you take just R0. Then you compute the step size tk given by rk times rk over dk times a times dk. Please notice that the numerator is positive because it's the scalar product of a vector with itself, and the vector is not zero. And the denominator is positive since a is a positive definite matrix. And then, now you have all the ingredients to move away from xk along direction dk with a step size tk. And you get the new point xk plus 1. And then you update the iterate counter and you go back to 1. And you go back to step one to check whether the new residual is zero or not. Okay? So this is the method. I want to review it in terms of optimization. Okay? First remark. And indeed, Professor Bevilacqua himself started from here.
we know that solving the linear system AX equals 0 is equivalent to find the stationary points of this quadratic function. 1 half x times a times x minus b times x. Okay? Because the gradient of this function at any point x is ax minus b, and so gradient equals 0 is equivalent to solving the linear system ax equals 0. And this is one of the connections we talked to you about between optimization and systems of equations. Okay? Linear systems are nothing but the stationary points of quadratic functions. Okay? I mean, the solution of linear system are the stationary points. So the two problems are actually the same. Finding the stationary points of this function is equivalent to solving this linear system. A couple of remarks. This quadratic function is convex because also we know that the Hessian matrix is of F at any point is the matrix A. And this matrix is positive definite. So the function is not only convex, it is also strictly and strongly convex. So, under the assumption we are considering, stationary points are minima, because the function is convex, and moreover, since the function is strictly convex, there exists at most one solution. And since it's strongly convex, there is an exact solution. Okay. And actually, we know this because we know that the solution is a minus 1b. Okay. This is the unique solution because since a is positive semi-definite, it's an invertible matrix. Okay. So, all this effort is made to avoid the computation of the inverse. So this is the link. So I want to review it in optimization terms. What type of method is this one? First, and central remark is the following. Notice that what we have been calling the residual as iteration k, so rk, is nothing else than minus the gradient of f at xk. Okay? Keep this in mind. The residual is minus the gradient. Indeed, at step one here, you are saying if the gradient is zero, then it's off. If xk is stationary for f, then it's off. The same thing that we had in optimization. Okay? Notice. Let's consider the first iteration, k equal to 0. So this coefficient is not here. We are taking as a direction minus the gradient. So we are doing a step of the gradient method because we are moving along v0, which is minus the gradient of f at x0. Okay? So the first step of this method is exactly the same thing, the same of the gradient method. Okay? And then we will discuss about the line search. I'm telling you in advance, that is the step given by the exact line search. Okay, for a quadratic function. I gave you the formula a couple of lectures ago, and indeed the formula was above you as the norm of the gradient at the current point, and on the denominator you had that expression where dk is minus the gradient.
Okay, and you have it twice, so the minus cancel. So, the first step of this method is exactly the first step of a gradient method with exact line search. Okay? And notice that if k is greater than 1, then you are no longer taking minus the gradient as a direction. You are taking minus the gradient plus a multiple of the previous direction. Okay? So this method is modifying the steepest descent direction, keeping track of the previous one. And the previous one takes track of the previous of the previous, and so on. So this decay takes track with suitable coefficients of all the directions we have been using up to now. Okay? Oh, this provides a good method, in theory, and I'm going to show you its properties. Professor Bevilacqua proved you a few properties, so let's suppose that RK is, so, assumptions. Let's suppose that RK is different from 0 up to some iteration k bar. Okay? You have done k bar iteration and up k bar minus 1, all the residuals are non-zero. Well, you can prove the following properties. First property, RK and RJ, where J is in between 0 and k minus 1, okay, is an index until k minus 1, is 0. So, the last residual is orthogonal to all the previous ones. Second property, dk times a times dj is equal to 0. Third property, actually the current residual rk is orthogonal also to all the previous directions. So rk times dj is equal to 0. And last property, which I will need at some point, is that dk times r0, no, sorry, it's not 0, it is equal to rk times rk, so the square norm of the residual. Okay. So these are properties. Professor Bevilacqua proved you some of them. Okay. All these proofs are simple computations by upwards using some induction procedure. Okay. I'm interested in the consequences of these properties because they show the optimization point of view of these conjugate gradient methods. Okay, so it looks like that we are producing a new algorithm to find stationary points. Okay? You already know that it works. First question, is this a descent method? Okay, so I would like to know, we consider this as a method to minimize f, we would like to know if this quantity is negative. Okay? The gradient at the current point times the current direction. Well, we know that the gradient is minus the residual. Okay? And we know that the parent direction is the residual plus a correction given by the previous direction. So here we can replace dk with rk plus beta k dk. Now dk minus 1, sorry. Okay? And then I can develop this, it is minus rk times rk plus beta k rk times dk minus 1. Now, just look at property 3 here. Okay? Rk and dk minus 1 are orthogonal. So this quantity here is 0 by the third property we review. So this is minus rk times rk, which is minus the square of the normal rk, which is less than 0 if rk is not 0. So this condition here, condition 3, property 3, allows us to prove that this is a descent method. Okay? So we are dealing the conjugate gradient method for linear system actually is a descent method for minimizing this quadratic function. Second thing I want to show you is the following. Okay, what type of descent method is this? Okay. Exact, inexact line search. I already anticipate you the answer. I want to show you that TK is indeed the step size given by the exact line search. Okay? So that we are doing the same method with exact line search. How can I show you this? I'm going to take the search function. Okay. No, sorry. Pk at t is f computed along the upline originated at xk and moving along direction dk. Okay? We know that the exact line search is telling you that tk is a minimum point of the search function, so its derivative is 0. Remember, this is a function of one variable. Okay? Yesterday, did you see some examples of search functions yesterday afternoon? Yeah? With Stefano. So I want to show you that this is true. Okay? So how can I show that this is true? Well, let's compute this derivative and show you that it is 0. Okay? So let's apply the chain rule we already used a few times. We know that this derivative f goes from t to this point, you are going from r to rn, and then you apply f and you are going back to rn to r. Okay? And the derivative of this function is the gradient of f times the derivative of the function that provides for any t xk plus t times dk. So we have done this a couple of times. This is the gradient of f at the point times the derivative of this argument. You derivate with respect to t for each component and you are left with the components of dk, so you are left with dk. So this is it, okay? And now, We know what the gradient is because
we know that the gradient is nothing but AXK plus DK DK minus K. Yes, times dk. Okay, I just
use this expression here. Okay, here we have the point. I put it inside, and so we have it. Okay, and now I just apply.
Let's see. This is axk minus b plus dk dk sine dk.
Okay? I just separated this. No, sorry.
A dk.
What is this?
This is the gradient, so this is minus the residual.
Okay? So, I put the residual over there,
so this is actually equal to dk, dk, dk minus the residual times dk. Okay? I just replace this with its name as the residual. Then what are we left with? We are left with let's make this times this. So this is dk b from dk transpose a transpose dk, but a is symmetric. So here you have t. So this is this first term, and then we have minus rk times dk.
Now, I've already shown you that RK times VK with a minus in front, it is minus RK times RK. Okay? Here I can reproduce this very same computation. Okay? And it provides you, so here I can replace this, doing this computation here by this. So this is dk, dk transpose a dk minus rk times rk. Now, what is dk? See over there? Dk has been chosen exactly in such a way that this quantity is zero. Here, if you replace dk, the denominator in this term cancel, and here you are left with rk times rk minus itself. Okay? So, dk has been chosen in such a way that the search function is minimized. So, it is the exact line search. Okay? Questions? So, no, you cannot apply 2 because j cannot be equal to k. Okay? And it is not true for j equal to k because a is positive definite. So in that case it must be positive. Okay? And indeed, we cannot perform that step 4 if that quantity is 0 because it's in the denominator. So. But so you have a couple of information. We are doing the same method with exact. We are doing the same method with exact line search. So we are in the class of methods we considered in the previous weeks. Okay. There is an amazing property that you already know. Well, this, in theory, this algorithm stops in at most n iterations. Okay. And the reason is here. It is given by property one. Because all residuals are orthogonal to each other. Okay? And since they are orthogonal to each other, they must be linearly independent. Okay? And at most you can have n linear independent vectors. Vector, when you write with k equal n, so you have n plus 1 residuals, at least one of them must be zero, because they must be linearly independent, okay? And this cannot be unless one of them is zero. So this is telling you that the algorithm converges after at most n iteration. I'm speaking in mathematical terms. Then you may have numerical errors, and the errors may prevent the convergence to be actually finite. Okay? But from the point of view of the mathematical analysis, at most an iteration, this algorithm gives you the minimum of this function or equivalent in the solution of this linear system. I want to show you this property, which is a straightforward consequence of the orthogonal of the orthogonality of the residuals in another way, in another fashion. Okay? I want to show you the following thing. Indeed, this algorithm is first minimal. So we are doing a line search, okay? Exact line search. So first iteration, we are minimizing along a direction. Okay? Second iteration, we are minimizing along another direction. Okay? I want to show you that at the second iteration, you are not just minimizing along the new direction, you are minimizing along the whole subspace generated by the two directions. Okay? So you are minimizing on a two-dimensional subspace, on a plane. When you do the third iteration, you are doing the exact line search along this direction, but I want to show that actually choosing that minimum, you are choosing the minimum of the subspace generated by the three directions, so a three-dimensional subspace, and so on. So I want to show you that at each iteration, we are minimizing over nested affine subspaces. I tell it in Italian, sotto spazi uno che include il precedente, cioè che stanno crescendo e stanno invadendo lo spazio. So, nested affine subspaces that invade in any iteration the whole space. Okay? And this is telling you, at most, at the iteration number n, since I'm minimizing on the whole space. Okay? To show you this, it's not difficult, but I need a property that follows from a few of these ones. That follows exactly from this one, okay? The fact that dk a times a times dj is zero, for j is smaller than k, okay? Which is called conjugacy. Okay. I want to show you that as a consequence of this, d0, d1,
dk are linearly independent.
The same property that you have for the residual is valid also for the directions. Okay? And the subspaces I was speaking earlier are the subspaces generated by all these directions. Do you have a question? Okay. Is it clear? So the first iteration, I'm doing the valence, so I'm minimizing along the line given by this zero. Second iteration, I'm minimizing on the 2D, on the plane generated by this zero and the one, and so on. Okay. Case iteration, I'm minimizing on the space generated by the zero, the one, the two, the k. And since they are linearly independent, the dimension of the subspace is exactly k plus 1. Okay, let me show you by induction that if the 0, the 1, dk minus 1 are linearly independent, then also the 0, the 1, dk minus 1, dk are linearly independent. How do it? Well, so we know that b0, b1, bk minus 1 are by assumption linearly independent. Okay? Well, let's suppose that bk is a linear combination of b0, b1, b2 up to bk minus 1. And here I'm giving you suitable coefficients gamma 0, gamma 1, gamma k minus 1. Okay? Let's suppose so that it is done this way. Now, let me compute dk times a times dk. Okay? Now, I keep this dk fixed, and here I replace dk with this expression. Okay? So that I have a long sum. So, I use the first term and I get gamma 0 dk times a times d0. I consider this other term, I get plus gamma 1 dk transpose a d1 plus, till the last term, gamma k minus 1 dk times a times dk minus 1. Okay? What do you get? You know this. So, each one of these is zero by this property here. So, all of these is zero. Okay? All of this is zero. Can it be true? A is positive definite. So, for this to be true, it must be what? Dk must be the zero vector. Okay, so a positive definite implies that dk is zero. Okay. But if dk is zero, it means that d zero plus d one. D0, D1, dk minus 1, are not linearly independent, okay, which is against our assumption. Okay? So, I suppose that they are linearly independent. I prove that if dk is linearly dependent by all these vectors, then they cannot be linearly independent, so I get a contradiction. Okay? And the base of the induction is true by definition because you just take one vector, okay, and it's linearly independent with itself. So this is telling you, okay, we have it here, these are linearly independent. What I want to show you is the following. Let's consider SK to be the vector subspace of Rn that is generated by the directions d0, d1, dk minus 1. Okay? What does it mean? It means that Sk is the set of vectors gamma 0 d0 plus gamma 1 d1 plus gamma k minus 1 dk minus 1 for all possible gamma positive, real gamma i. Okay? You take all their linear combinations. This is the subspace generated by k vectors. In Rn, consider d0, consider d1, okay? They generate this plane. Then I take a third vector, this d3, and they generate this R3, our rule. You add the form and you generate the four-dimensional subspace. So, first property is that S0 is contained in S1, which is contained in S2, which is contained in Sk minus 1. So this is for k greater or equal than 1. Okay? And you should end up with k. Okay. No, you should then end up with n. Okay? They are one nested inside the other. S1 is a subset of S2, which is a subset of S3, and so on. Okay? First I'm generating a line, then a plane that contains the line, then a three-dimensional subspace which contains the plane, and so on. Okay? I'm invading the whole array. What I aim to show you is the following. Let's consider the finite sequence generated by our conjugate gradient method. Okay? I want to show you that Xk minimizes F over the corresponding subspace. Let me be more precise. F at Xk is the minimum value of F at X, where X belongs to X0 plus Sk. Okay.
This is another way to see the conjugate gradient method and infinite convergence. Okay. I'm at each iteration, I'm providing the minimum over a subspace, and at the next iteration, the new subspace will contain the previous one. There are a couple of ways to prove this. I'm not going to give you the full details of the two proofs. I will just explain you how they work, and then you can check the details of both proofs in my notes. Yeah? Okay, thank you. The addiction means this. Thank you for asking. Okay? So, I try to explain you. Consider a plane in R3. Okay? If it is a space generated that way, you can take all the coefficients to be zero. So zero belongs. Okay? Zero always belongs to a vector subspace. Okay? The effect of this is translating the plane. The plane must pass through zero. Is translating the plane of a vector x0. Okay? So that I'm not considering this plane, but if x0 is this vector, I'm considering this plane here. Okay? You can see also on a line in R2, this is a vector subspace of dimension 1. You take x0 to be this. Okay? So if this is, let's say, f1, let's say F2, so here are F2. No, sorry, this is F2, so, and this is F0. And this is F0. This line here is F0 plus F2. Okay? The difference between the two is just that one is obtained translating the other. Okay, but this is a vector subspace, to use the right terminology, and this is an affine subspace. Affine just means affine means that it is obtained by a vector subspace through a translation. Okay? So this is affine. And here I'm saying that all the vector subspaces generated by the directions are translated by x0. This is reasonable because just think it with this way. If I take two different vectors x0, and I apply the method, I will obtain two different sequences. Okay? And indeed, if here there is no x0, xk would be always the same. Okay? And this is the dependence on x0. Okay? You are minimizing on the subspace, which is obtained translating by x0 the vector subspace. Okay.
But there is no condition on the x0.
No, no restriction, any. Okay. No matter how you choose x0, this property is true. No restriction. Okay. Okay. One proof is to consider F restricted to this subspace, and to sort of write F, to consider F written this way, F at 0 plus gamma 0 d0 plus gamma n minus 1 dk minus 1. Okay? This is whenever you make the coefficients gamma I run free, okay, you are describing this subspace here. Okay? So you can consider this as a function of gamma 0, gamma 1, gamma k minus 1. Okay? And you can prove that the minimum is achieved by taking gamma 0 equal to 0, gamma 1 equal to 1, and so on. And the key point of the proof is that f is strictly convex, okay, and actually strongly convex. Therefore, you can prove that also this as a function of these vectors here is strongly convex, and it means that there exists a unique minimum. Okay? And you prove that the minimum is achieved whenever you take this gamma to be equal to the pi given by the algorithm. Okay? This is one way to prove it. The other way is similar, and you can prove it theoretically by showing since it's strictly convex, you compute the gradient of this and you relate to the gradient of this other function. Okay? You can. The other way is to do it by hand, because you know how this function f is done. The function s is done this way. So that you can substitute to a generic x points done this way, and you can consider it as a function of, you have an explicit formula for the function, okay? And the function will be separable in the variables, okay? You will have something which depends on gamma 0, something which depends on gamma 1, and so you can optimize each piece. Okay? So it's like minimizing functions of one variable, and what you get when you do the computation is exactly that the coefficients must be this much. Okay? Since they are quadratic and the pieces of one dimension, they will be parabolas, and you compute the minimum of the parabolas computing the vertex. Okay? So you can do it by theory. This is strongly convex, so the gradient equal to zero is achieved exactly at one point, okay, and the point is the minimizer, and the coefficient come out this way, because this coefficient make the gradient vanish. Or you can do the, let's say, the computation by hand. You know the formula of the function, you replace, and you can compute the minimum by hand by using the properties of the functions, okay? Because it is separable in each variable. So I don't want to spend time on the details. I want just to summarize you this overview of the conjugate gradient method for linear systems in terms of optimization, and then we take a break. So we have shown that this method is actually a method for minimizing these strongly convex quadratic functions. We have shown that the first iteration is a step, the first step of a gradient method with exact length search. We've shown that it is a descent method, that step 4 provides the step size, which is given by the exact length search. And then I told you that we can prove that this property here, that it says that at each iteration we are minimizing on an affine subspace. And these subspaces are nested one into the other, the dimension is growing, so they are invading the whole space, and at most at iteration number n, you are minimizing on the whole space. I told you this because there is a whole area of algorithm based on this idea. Subspace doesn't always work.
Okay? You try to solve the problem minimizing over particular nested subspaces. Okay? It doesn't work in general, otherwise it would mean that I can minimize the function minimizing one variable at the time, which is not always true. Okay? And the truth lies in the fact that here, when we are writing this explicitly, the terms become separable in each of the variables. Okay? If you parameterize the full space in this way. So, let's take a 5 minute break where you can ask me questions, and then we will discuss what we can do when the function is not of this kind.